A Ku Klux Klan leader and a former KKK member testified this weekend before a Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's part of a process aimed at healing wounds from more than 25 years ago. They stem from a deadly clash between communist labor organizers and white supremacists. From North Carolina Public Radio, Rusty Jacobs reports.
Seated behind a bank of microphones facing a panel of seven commissioners, Goral Pierce exuded a folksy charm. With his denim shirt, jeans, and engineer's cap, it's hard to believe this mild-mannered guy was once a grand dragon in the KKK.
The very frying pan that I ate my breakfast on as a child deflected bullets at the Battle of Gettysburg. It had belonged to an ancestor of mine. And all my great-great-grandpa served in the Confederate Army.
Pierce said he was drawn to the Klan as an 18-year-old country boy looking for excitement.
Had I been born in New York City, I probably would have made a good communist. But being born in where I was, it made me a very good Klansman.
But Pierce said he didn't like the violence other Klansmen craved. In fact, Pierce told the commission that in July of 1979, he helped avert violence in the town of China Grove during a standoff between the CWP and his Klan faction. So Pierce opted not to go to Greensboro on November 3, 1979, where the CWP planned to hold a Death to the Klan rally.
I told everybody that next time somebody might get killed, that this is serious business. This is not Boy Scouts.
Klan member and current Imperial Wizard Virgil Griffin did go to Greensboro.
The reason I came to Greensboro, they put the poster out, Death to the Klan. Said we was hiding under rocks, we were scum. I'm not scum, I'm as good as any man walks on this earth.
On November 3rd, Virgil Griffin and a caravan of Nazis and Klansmen set out to disrupt the CWP rally. The group scuffled and then shooting started. After 88 seconds of gunfire caught on news cameras, four CWP members were dead and 10 were wounded. A fifth CWP member died later. How was it that all the dead just happened to be CWP leaders? One of the commissioners asked Virgil Griffin.
I don't know why. Maybe God guided the bullets. I don't know.
Some survivors of that day insist the bullets were guided by police and city officials bent on eliminating the CWP. Paul Bermanzon earned a medical degree from Duke University and was a member of the CWP. On November 3rd, a gunshot wound to the head left him partially paralyzed.
We were gunned down in a political assassination designed to stop the growing movement we were helping to build. This is not an indefensible position. It's not yet proven, but neither can it be lightly dismissed.
Two criminal trials, one at the state and one at the federal level, resulted in acquittals for all of the Klan and Nazi defendants. In 1985, a federal jury did find two Greensboro police officers and six Klansmen and Nazis liable for wrongful death in a third civil trial. But appearing before the commission, author Elizabeth Wheaton disputed CWP claims that city and police officials colluded with the Klan, even though the police didn't show up on the scene until after the shooting.
There was no evidence in either of the federal conspiracy trials that they goaded, incited, or in any way led the Klan and Nazis to do anything they weren't already planning to do.
Wheaton researched the events surrounding November 3rd for her book titled Codename Greenkill. The commissioners will hold two more sets of hearings over the next 2 months. Then they'll write a final report on what they think truly happened on November 3rd and what it would take for Greensboro to truly heal. The commission holds no official authority or power to prosecute, and its mission's far from universally accepted. Indeed, some residents in this city of 220,000 say Greensboro doesn't need reconciliation at all. For NPR News, I'm Rusty Jacobs.